This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras, to service bay views, to our transparent pricing. Each and every day.
Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
B-Pod Studios.
Beaker. They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing that I think everybody's got to look at it a little bit. Is Josh Allen the best player in football? I think it's a legitimate question. He's in that conversation. I know Mahomes is right there. Rodgers, of course, the way he plays and still playing at such a high level. But Josh Allen has games like this, and he's had a bunch of games like this, where I just go, I don't know if there's a better player in the game. Just the things I see, running away from defenders, stiff-arming defensive tackles, throwing touchdowns with defensive ends on his back, power running game, Cam Newton style, run over a guy for a first down. You know, stand in the pocket, make unbelievable decisions, not make one decision the whole night that was even in danger of being intercepted or anything bad, and just putting every ball on the money, and oh yeah, it's minus 8 degrees and no big deal. This guy is a freak of nature and one of the most talented quarterbacks we have ever seen in football. He is that good.
Josh Allen, says Chris Sims, best player in football, freak of nature, one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. Greg Bedard, your thoughts?
One of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. I have never argued that. That's absolutely true. As far as him being one of the greatest, I don't know. I got lost in the superlatives from Chris Sims. And I really like Chris Sims. I just think he goes overboard about Josh Allen. But if you think Saturday night was about Josh Allen, then you're telling me you know nothing about football without telling me you know nothing about football. Because it was 95% of it was the Patriots. They were horrendous. It was awful. It was the worst defensive performance from game plan to playing that I have ever seen in my time covering the Patriots. The only thing that rivals it was Super Bowl 52 against the Eagles. That's the only thing in my mind that comes close.
Okay, folks, we've asked the question, was the performance on Saturday night more about the Patriots defense or more about Josh Allen? Greg Bedard says 95% about the Patriots defense. So I would like Greg then to enumerate what the Patriots defense did so wrong to have such a, out of whack percentage, but be that as it may. That's Greg Bedard. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Maz, how do you feel about 95-5?
So, look, I think that that is a little high.
A little?
I think that, but believe me, look, I thought the Patriots were inept in this game. I told you that yesterday. There was never any pressure. Allen just got to sit back there, and, you know, it was a shooting gallery as far as I'm concerned. No pressure, was able to fire away all night long. But I do think, so again, I think 95-5 is a little high, and I think that this obviously relates to Greg. Your sort of preconceptions about Josh Allen. Can we ask it this way? Do you think he's a franchise quarterback?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's
that was like hard. That took like a pliers to rip that molar out of your mouth to get you just to say that.
No, I just decided, you know, because you guys misconstrue me and then I hear about it. Like, you guys continue to say that I say Josh Allen sucks. That's not true. I said going into last season, he sucked. That was a fact. He sucked. And last season, I wasn't sure what to make out of it. I did say last season he was good. I said even this season, I said I didn't believe in him, but I said the second half in Tampa Bay, let's forget that the first half in Tampa Bay, he helped put him into that hole. But the second half in Tampa Bay, I was like, He might be there now. He might be there. I need to see what happens the rest of the season, and that's included. Like if Josh Allen is what you think he is, Mike, he goes into Kansas City and wins. He goes into Nashville and wins. They go to a Super Bowl. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But that's the way you have portrayed him. That's what he should do, especially with this Bills team that is hitting on all cylinders.
That's not you, how I Chris portrayed Sims, him. All these guys. I just told you he's. You know, he's in the next tier down from the elite quarterbacks, and he's kind of now in that elite group. That's all that is. I don't expect anyone to go into Tennessee.
I wouldn't argue with... just wait.
I don't expect anyone to go into Kansas City. I'm sorry. If he puts up 3 points, then yes, that's a fail. If he loses 38-35 and Pat Mahomes gets the better of him, I'm sorry. That doesn't qualify. I think the Bills at this point should beat the Titans. I'll grant you that. But if there's a shootout and Pat Mahomes gets the ball last and wins... I'm not going to put that on Josh Allen. I just think you've been so reluctant on Allen. It's not even funny, even to this moment. But I think where you it's two pronged. You don't want to give in on the Allen thing, which is your issue, not mine. The other thing is, though, I think you think that by us saying that was all Josh Allen, that lets the Patriots off the hook, and you don't want to let the Patriots off the hook. And that I'm with you on. So why should we not let the Patriots off the hook?
Because I have never seen a more passive, pathetic, just game plan going into this game. Basically, and I think that's why the Patriots played the way that they did. And this is part of a longer sort of thing that I'm sure we'll get into about what has happened after the bye week and what I've been able to learn talking to people. But the Patriots basically, once Jalen Mills went into COVID, I mean, first of all, this all started with whatever you think, the Stephon Gilmore trade and the Jonathan Jones trade injury left them with the inability to play man coverage. And certainly at linebacker, they couldn't cover anybody man-to-man. So you were left with a team that could no longer play man-to-man. And, you know, at least Jalen Mills gave them a veteran who sometimes could play man-to-man but could do his job. Once he went into COVID protocols, basically, their game plan and the way that they played Felger in terms of, I think they blitzed 3 times in the game. They showed a 5-man line to start the game. I mean, you know, wonderful. I mean, great. You know, Matthew Judon's not even out there. Doesn't start the second half either. And they just played the softest zone coverage that I have ever seen. There were guys open all over the place. Multiple Bills on every down. And to me, it looked like Bill Belichick, once Jalen Mills went down, he said, we can't match up with these guys. We can't stop these guys. I don't care who the quarterback is. Could it be Ryan Fitzpatrick in the season ender in 2019, which he did the same thing to this defense. It could be that guy. We can't match up with these guys. So you know what we're going to do? We're just going to stick. We're going to lay back. Hopefully Josh Allen takes a bunch of checkdowns. Hopefully we tackle well. Hopefully in the cold weather, a couple balls pop out. Maybe he throws one to us. Maybe they have a lot of penalties, and that's what we're going to try to do to play defense. And I think the defensive players looked at their game plan for this and said, that's it. That's all we're doing in this game. And then that led to, what we saw on the field, which was absolutely horrendous and pathetic defense. And for people to say, look at what the Bills did against Bill Belichick and a Patriots defense. If you think that's Bill Belichick and a quote-unquote Patriots defense, you're completely fooling yourself.
So, Greg, in watching this film, obviously, you know, you're breaking this down. It's a mess. Did you also see quit?
I have heard that. I have heard inside, from people around the building that in the second half, there was a feeling that some of the guys quit on this team and that there's disappointment. I looked for it in the film. I didn't exactly see it. I think if there's one guy, if you were looking for one guy to say, to question his effort in this game, it would be J.C. Jackson. I thought he was terrible from the get-go. He looked like he didn't want to be there. He looked like he didn't want to be in New England anymore. And to me, if I'm the Patriots, I'm tagging and trading him, you know, even if it's 10 cents on the dollar.
So you think, but just taking a step back, there was a lack of buy-in. There was a lack of buy-in on the game plan and how they were approaching this game, and you think that extends to what happened here after the bye? Go back to that. What have you learned?
Yeah, and this is something that I wrote, I forgot, in the last couple of weeks that I wrote where I said, you know, you have to question the buy-in on this defense and at this point in time. And from what I understand, and I don't know exactly what has happened. Like, I don't have it, the exact reason. But at some point in time after the bye week, from what I hear, there's a disconnect between the coaching staff and the players in terms of, you know, what they're being asked to do, how they're being coached. And if I had to guess, and this is a complete guess, sort of fitting the puzzle pieces that I've heard from people, I would look at it because if you look at their season, they're 2-4 to start the season. They're a mess on defense. They're not doing anything right. Very similar to the last five games. 3rd-25 against Dallas. After that, it looked like an alpha male stepped in, Bill, and said, this is what we're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. And the guys did it. They all executed. I was happy. I'm watching it. Hey, this is Patriots defense. These guys are executing. I think there's a chance that during the bye week, Bill said, you know what? Things are going well now. Steve, Gerard, you got it back. And now all of a sudden, the players start questioning like, all right, well, is this Bill's game plan or whose is this? Who am I listening to, Steve or Gerard? And you know, I just think, and you see it on film. They were a complete disaster in the last five games of the season. The advanced analytics bear that out too. And to me, you look at 2011 and that defense and that slop and that coaching staff and how well they were able to execute and almost win a Super Bowl with that group. This group was way more talented and they completely fell apart. And to me, I think you have to look at the coaching. And from what I understand, there's a disconnect between the coaches and the players and a lack of buy-in and a lack of belief. And you see that on film. That is on film in the last five games of the season.
Okay, big part of the discussion. How'd it go wrong? There's part of the answer, according to Greg Bedard. Where do they go from here? That'll be on the table. Your calls at 617-779-0985 will be mixed in, and we'll begin with them right after these words.
Josh Allen sucks. He sucked. That was a fact.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
Felger. Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second and goal from the 8. Allen takes the step. Drops back. Looks left. Now drops. Starts to roll to his right. He pulls up. He pumps. He's contained and now continues to rolling right. Gets to the sideline. Tosses that ball to the back of the end zone. It's caught by Knox, who brings it down for a Buffalo touchdown.
This is all Josh Allen. All Josh Allen on this drive.
A play is fake to Singletary. A rope frozen down the middle of the end zone. Caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox caught the first. Just caught another for Buffalo to expand the lead.
You like chasing 14 points every week? Quick spots of the team you're playing, a 14, 20. And you wonder why you're not playing good football in the month of December into the playoffs. This is exactly the way you've been playing the last 4 weeks.
Check and snap back to Allen with the play fake. From the 34, loads up, throws a long ball left. God. Sanders open in the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Who's that? Oh, Jowan. He's 10 yards
trying
on a cushion.
In coverage.
He's 10 yards off him, and he still runs by him by 5 yards. Unacceptable.
Allen takes the snap. Play fake to Singletary. Throw down the middle. Snagged by Davis. Touchdown, Buffalo.
You're outmanned with 41 on anybody. I mean, whether it's Davis, whether it's McKenzie, whether it's Beasley, you just can't keep up. Great call by Daboll. It's a play fake where Allen sells it. And that's the thing. If your running game's working, if your quarterback keeping it around the end is working, you have no linebackers, no safeties. Everybody got sucked up on that.
The Bills may be pushing for 50. They've got 40 right now. It's still 8:50 to go.
Oh, they smell blood.
Play fake by Allen. Rolls left. He's going to throw it to the tackle. Open.
Big boy touchdown.
The jumbo tight end. The Bills humiliating the Patriots.
Out-coached, out-schemed.
46-10. Buffalo has the lead.
It's a deep pantsing.
There's your Josh Allen highlight reel / Patriots lowlight reel. Bedard thinks it's more about the Patriots lowlight than the Allen highlight. Sort of a side topic. to the matter at hand, which is how they got there in the first place. You missed the first segment. We'll replay the cut. But Greg believes there was some form of disconnect between the players and the coaching. Defensive side, something changed coming out of the bye. Led to a lack of buy-in from the team down the stretch, and particularly in that game. So that's just sort of a recap. So that's part of what happened. Where do they go from here, Greg, before we go back to the phones?
It's a great question. I think that, number one, Bill needs to do a real deep dive on what's been going on, whether it's these weak finishes to seasons of late, what's going on with his coaching staff. I mean, he needs to find out what happened with his defense, if he doesn't already know the answer. And he needs to be real about it. I mean, I know it's a little tough with, you know, his two sons, Steve and Brian, on the defensive staff, but he or somebody has to do it. I mean, you cannot look at what happened down the stretch. And just to illustrate to people sort of what, you know, how this Patriots team devolved. You know, I asked Aaron Schatz, my buddy from footballoutsiders.com, for his DVOA numbers for the team this season. I said, what were they in the last five games? Because, you know, what you'll hear from people who like to grasp their spreadsheet to explain away this game and talk about how great Josh Allen is that they'll say, oh, well, the Patriots were top three in this and top five in that. You know what they were in the final 5 weeks, including the playoff game? They were, and I just had it, they were 32nd overall in DVOA. They were 31st in pass. They were 32nd in rush. Taking out the final game, they were middling. They were 15th, 14th, and 24th. Whereas in the first 13 weeks of the season, they were second overall, third against the pass, seventh against the rush. So they fell apart. They absolutely fell apart.
So weeks 15 to 19, that includes a wild card game, and you're including the Jacksonville game.
Yep, including the Jacksonville game.
So you're not taking that out. They ranked, and DVOA is their advanced metric. Don't make me explain it. But it's adjusted.
Yeah, it compares every play to the average around the league.
Okay.
Like how, you know, yep.
And it also includes strength, the schedule, things of this nature.
Exactly. Opponent, yep.
Dead last overall, 31st against the pass, dead last against the rush.
Yep.
Okay. So,
I mean, look, Mike, that's what we saw. That's what we saw. Again, we went over some of these numbers yesterday. The final 5 weeks, they give up 35 points a game, 700 yards rushing, and they got absolutely shredded in the passing game. You can't play worse defense than they played the last 5 weeks.
Okay.
Let alone, let's also point out that two of the quarterbacks they faced, or two of the teams, the Colts and the Dolphins, were scared to death of their quarterbacks. Did not want to have anything to do with them throwing the ball. And the Patriots were still terrible.
Okay, where do we go from here? Coaching staff taking a hard look. Greg's first answer to that.
Number one, if Bill wants to be honest, if he does want to get better, if he wants to catch Shula and he wants to win a Super Bowl and keep up with Brady and all that stuff, number one, he has to figure out what's going on with his staff and what went on this season. And he needs to find, like they have Josh McDaniels on offense, who is the alpha, the dominant voice on offense. He needs that on defense, unless he's going to do it. And is that going to, if Jerod Mayo gets a head coaching job, does that make it Steve by default? If Jerod stays, are they still going to do this sort of piecemeal thing where the players are like, who do I listen to? I'm not sure. You know, Steve's telling me this. Jerod's telling me this. You know, my position coach is telling me this. Like, what's the deal? He needs to figure that out. Is it Matt Patricia who steps in, who, you know, had that role before? I mean, I don't know. I'm not crazy about it. And I know people in the building that aren't crazy about that either. But who knows? He could have learned a lot from Detroit. He, you know, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Maybe he's learned and maybe he's ready to be that, you know, alpha on the defense. But he has to look at that. He has to look at the speed. Who's going to play cover corner next year? Because if we can't man cover, the same thing's going to happen. Can we run at linebacker? You know, are we fading because we never, ever play younger players? Like, God forbid the Patriots go through a season without the boogeyman on defense wilting at the end of the season. Like, let's bring Jamie Collins back so he can be on one leg and not be able to tackle anybody against the Bills. Yeah, let's do all that stuff again. Like, what? Bill has to look seriously at this. I'm sure he is. He's honest. He was honest about the offense last year and made drastic changes. What is he going to do on defense? Because that's where it's got to start, especially Mac Jones is not going to win you games by yourself. So you better have a defense that's going to at least hold up their end of the bargain, and they did not this year.
Okay, folks, your thoughts. Try your best to be brief, please. Ryan and Malden, go.
Yeah, the defense was horrific, abysmal. And this is why they need to get rid of their son, Steven Belichick, and get rid of him and their close family friends. And while they're at it, you need to get rid of Cameron Accord. Can he please go back to go mowing the lawn? I mean,
at the community college in Mississippi. All right, so we just hit on the staff. How about the personnel, Greg? Is the personnel suited for today's game? Is it fast enough? Is it athletic enough?
If you have man cover corners, you know, because the Patriots, when you know, you remember the second dynasty basically happened, aside from Brady, because they tilted away from zone, because they went through that stretch from, you know, well, let's call it like 2010 to, you know, or, I don't know, before that, like 2008 through like 2013, where, you know, they were playing a lot of zone. Then Bill realized we can't do that anymore because the offenses are too good, the quarterbacks are too good, so we're going to play a lot more man coverage. And until this year, they were basically a man cover corner team. And that allows you to do so many things on defense and allows you to get away with, you know, slower players here and there. But once they traded Gilmore, once they lost Jonathan Jones, like, that was out the window. They could not man cover there. They couldn't man cover at linebacker. So, you know, I think that Bill, in some of his post-game comments, I think that, you know, and I'm sure we'll play him at some point, but Bill talking about, like, you know, was this a one-off? You know, I think that Bill thinks that if he had a few more players in the secondary in this, I think they would have been a lot better in this game and might have won. But I think he's fooling themselves. I think they need a lot more man cover guys, or at least have that ability.
Okay, here's Elijah in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Elijah.
All right, guys. Thank you for everything this season. And just to keep it brief, who do you guys got for MVP, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Okay. I mean, I really don't care.
Me neither.
I hope Brady wins it so Rodgers doesn't get to pull out his wanker and say, I'm the MVP when he can't win a damn thing.
It's going to be Rodgers, and I don't want Brady to win it because it's a curse. Means you don't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. So for the same reason. I'm like, let Brady win that thing and let Rodgers not. But does it matter? I mean, Mike and Weymouth. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
So if this was the Patriots, you, Mike, and you especially, Tony, would say all the Bills have done is they've done what they're supposed to have done. They've beaten an inferior opponent in one wild card game. If they do not go into Kansas City and win this week, then is the season a failure for them? Because Kansas City was a team they were supposed to have beaten, and if they lose to Kansas City, they will have been knocked out a round earlier than they were last year.
So. Yes. Okay, go ahead, Mess.
Yes. Yes, it's a failure. The Bills are Super Bowl or bust as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, and honestly, this has nothing to do with how we treat the Patriots, how we treat anybody else. It's about, you know, what the standards are for that particular team in any given year. Buffalo is Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. I mean, to me, my second guess, again, it's not necessarily losing in Kansas City to Pat Mahomes. It's could you have beaten Jacksonville during the regular season and had this
exactly.
game at home? You know, so they were they a game behind Kansas City or a tiebreaker behind Kansas City for the number one seed? It was something like that. So could they have taken care of business better during the regular season and gotten a home game and a bye and that thing? And so that would be my second guess. But I don't look at Buffalo. I mean, I still think they're a team to be reckoned with for as long as Josh Allen is Josh Allen. I mean, that's just, we know the way that league works. So I'm not like I'm not throwing myself off a bridge if I'm a Bills fan, but I'll give that to you. If they don't get past this week, it's a failure. Quickly, Scott and JP, go ahead, Scott.
Hey, I was looking at the NFL Next Gen stats for Allen and Mac Jones, and Allen threw 25 passes. 10 of them were 5 yards or less, or 10 of them were behind the line of scrimmage. The game plan, Dayball's game plan was amazing.
So hold on, you're saying you said Allen was throwing short?
Yeah, he was very short, very short. But he spread the ball around nine different receivers, only like 3 balls over 20 yards. You can call it up. Look at the
okay.
image.
I mean, I don't know. I don't care what your chart says. I watched the game, and Allen threw the ball all over the freaking yard.
So what was his point? He also thinks Allen stinks?
I don't get the point.
I think he's just talking about the game plan, and I think the game plan was good. And look, the Patriots, especially when they're in the kind of mode that they were on Saturday, are going to say, okay, let's see if you're still willing to throw underneath and take the short stuff and take what's there, because they're going to try to take away the big play.
That's a good point, because I think that used to be the book on Allen. Make him be patient. Make him take the easy money. Make him take the checkdowns. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to run around and make a big play. And against you, he has proven he will take the checkdown. So if that's your point, fine. How much credit, Greg, quickly do you give Brian Daboll and the coaching in Buffalo?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I think he just he knows exactly what the Patriots want to do. I think that how many times. I think the Bills are still scoring on skinny posts against the Patriots. Like every game, they were just like, you know, there was one in the, they scored on one in the first game. Another one should have been a touchdown, except Jalen Mills held the guy, no flag. I think there were two in the last game. There were two in this game. I mean, he knows exactly what the Patriots are going to call at certain times. I think the read option element in that, has really screwed with the Patriots, that they don't know what to do. You know, do we rush? Do we drop? And now it's leaving the secondary even more on an island. I think Daboll has just done an incredible job. He has earned a head coaching opportunity. I would really like to see sort of the Bills guys as a front office guy who's a finalist. Sheen, those two guys set up with the Giants, I think would be a good start for the Giants once.
Okay, three up, three down with Bedard right after the update.
Hey, it's Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. It's January, the time of year we're bombarded with weight loss commercials. Gyms, exercise equipment, diet plans, and full service programs like Awaken 180 Weight Loss. No matter who's advertising, it's good to see so many people taking the steps to get healthy. Awaken 180 won't discredit alternative methods for weight loss. If other programs have you feeling full, energized, and has a plan for keeping the weight off, feel proud. If you haven't selected a program yet, I suggest doing what I did and check out Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Set up a consultation, ask questions, and have enough information to decide if it's right for you. To answer a few questions now, yes, it's easy. No, the gym isn't required. And yes, Awaken 180 provides free support for life after you lose the weight. I've now lost 60 pounds, and each week I'm getting closer to my goal thanks to Awaken 180. 7 locations. I go to the newest in Auburn. Book your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, three up, three down from Saturday in Buffalo. This segment is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Again, three up, three down with Bedard, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cast matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Give me the three up at once, Greg, and then just a thought on it, because I want to spend more time on the downs for obvious reasons. Give me your three up.
Mac Jones, Kendrick Bourne, David Andrews. I think the biggest takeaway, if you're looking for a positive from this game, is that the moment was not too big for Mac Jones, even in minus wind chills, which was a big question for me. I thought that he was ready to go. He was one of the few guys that was ready to go. I thought he threw the ball well. I thought his first throw of the game, the comebacker to Kendrick Bourne from the right hash mark, had a lot of heat on it. His deep ball throw on the interception, you know, 9 out of 10 times, that's at worst knocked away by the defensive back, if not a touchdown. Micah Hyde made a great play. I thought it was a great throw. Well, a good throw. It could have been a great throw, would have been 6 inches to the outside, but I still thought it was in those conditions, it was a good throw. He showed me a lot, and so did Kendrick Bourne, that those guys are two guys that you can build around who have stones, who are ready to go and going to be ready to go at all times. And so I felt really good about that.
Yes.
Okay, Kendrick Bourne, Ramondre Stevenson, Mac Jones. Those three guys, I thought, pretty much gave it all they had on every play. So that's about, you know, that's it. Those three guys.
Okay, three down. Who's your number one dud in this game, Greg?
J.C. Jackson. It was by far his worst game of the year for me. He looked like he didn't want to be there. Perhaps he wanted to be given Stephon Diggs one-on-one in this game, and because no one else can play man coverage, he couldn't do that. He looked disinterested. I had him for one-plus play and seven minus plays in this game. Like I said, it looked like he didn't want to be there.
I went Bill Belichick. I thought this was one of the worst games Bill Belichick's ever coached. And I know, he's not a player, so I'm asking the court for some latitude. This was pathetic. They got humiliated. They were ill-prepared. They weren't ready to go. They were unmotivated. There's some sort of dysfunction on the defensive side of the ball.
Number two, Greg.
Dante Hightower. This was not his fault, or, you know, I think it was injury related. He was kept home from Miami with the knee, hoping that it might get better. It was not. And it was tough to watch him in the second half of that game. He was just reaching for tackles, flailing about. If that's his last game as a Patriot, which I'm guessing that it is, it was sad to watch because he has been a great Patriot and has been one of its best players throughout his career here.
Gerard Mayo and Steven Belichick. I don't care if you are an NFL veteran who played in a couple of Pro Bowls and was an All-Pro in 2010, as Mayo was, and I certainly don't care if you're the coach's son. That defense was pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. So you're in charge of the defense. I don't know. They're obviously not coordinators. Whatever, again, whatever dysfunction is there, it ran through those guys.
Number three, Greg.
First, let me give you the other nominees for the final spot. Matthew Judon was terrible. Jamie Collins was hurt and terrible. Jawan Williams, good Lord, no. Just get off the team. Kyle Duggar was not good. Jakob Johnson was absolutely horrendous in this game. Brandon Bolden drops all over the place. Trent Brown was bad. Shaq Mason was bad. But my third down was Jonnu Smith, who just continued to finish off a just awful campaign where he couldn't get the scheme at all, couldn't find a fit. I mean, the first freaking play of the game, there's a guy right in front of him, and he blocks Ed Oliver with three other people, and it's a two-yard run. Should have been about a 30-yard run if he just blocked the guy on the edge. And that kind of stuff went on all the time, all year. And it's just awful, just awful.
So, Mike, again, I'm taking a very general approach here, but there were 21 guys, by my count, that took a snap on defense in this game. I would like to condemn all 21. I don't think there was a single guy on defense that did anything. The more I think about it, seven possessions, seven touchdowns. Whether you started or played six snaps, you sucked in this game.
Greg, one more thought. You questioned the personnel, meaning the who's active, who's not, who's on the field, who's not. All right. So it's like Collins is out there, Hightower's out there, Van Noy's out there. Meanwhile, Winovich, Uche, Jenny, whatever the hell he, you know, that do you think they should have gone younger earlier in the season and there should have been a younger defense, even if you're giving something up there?
I thought they should have gone younger for years around here. Like, stop bringing back retreads and actually, I don't know, coach up your draft picks so they can actually play. Maybe not as rookies, but as second-year guys. I mean, there's no reason why Chase Winovich should be inactive for a playoff game and Josh Uche should barely be out there if your scouts are doing their job or you're picking the right people. I mean, they have just stopped drafting and developing in a lot of these plays. I mean, luckily they hit on guys this year, you know, Dave Ziegler's first draft. Maybe that says something, but just way too many retreads. I don't know who should have played. I'm not watching practice, but all I can tell you is you look at these sort of slumps to finish every season, and you could even put 2018 in there. They ended up winning the Super Bowl, but you know, if it wasn't for Brady's heroics and D Ford in Kansas City, that doesn't happen. And, you know, two December losses that year, 2019, the boogeymen get run over by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins in the last game. Last year was abysmal. This year, 1-4 in the final five games. To me, that has to, one of the things that has to tell Belichick is Maybe we're really old and we can't make it to the season and actually play good football on defense. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe I need to stop recycling these guys who actually, if you come to think of it, I let them go because they weren't any good when they were done here. You know, like, just somebody's got to step in and get this team younger, because if they keep trotting these guys out there, like, you know, good luck with the over-the-hill gang.
More of your thoughts with Greg Bedard in our long commercial-free segment.
This Sports Hub On-Demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a win. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mass.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, I have a lot of respect for the players and the coaches and just in general the team, the support people. Scoops worked extremely hard, and they've given, you know, they've given their best. We all gave our best. It's obviously... didn't work out for us the way we wanted it to last night and ultimately the results of the season, but the effort and the cooperation and ability to adjust and professionally do things and do things the right way, it's been very much appreciated by me. And we had our ups and downs in the season, slower start, some higher points in the middle of the season, and didn't finish the way that we wanted to. I think we need to and will go back and take a longer view of just everything.
Belichick with his assessment of the season. It was yesterday morning. What's our confidence level in him going forward? I'll start with you, Greg, before I go back to the phones. What's your confidence level in Belichick going forward?
I think pretty good. I mean, I think that he has a track record of, being honest and looking at his weaknesses. And I think that the film there and how they had to play that game and, sort of who played well, who didn't, who showed up, who didn't. I think that's all a roadmap for Belichick on what he needs to work on. And, we have over 20 years of experience in saying that Bill Belichick will do what's in the best interest of the team. Now, I will bring a caveat and say, will he still do that to both sides of the ball with his sons on the staff? I think it's a fair question to ask. It's a fair question of the crafts to ask. I'm not saying that he won't do that, but I think it's a question that should be asked. I mean, outside of that, I have full confidence in Belichick. I thought he made, or the organization made a good move in terms of personnel, how they dealt with things. I thought the draft was a result of that this year. Will he look at the same way at his coaching staff as he does his players? I do think that he'll do that. I just don't, I'm no longer 100% confident in that due to his sons being on the defensive staff.
Okay. I'm not fully confident anymore. I mean, I guess I'm confident, small C, like 6.5 on a scale of 10, in Belichick going forward. And I think it's fair to ask the questions that you're talking about with the crafts. I think it's fair to ask about his energy level at his age and how long he's done this for, or his commitment level, which isn't to say that he's like not committed, but is he maniacal and 100-hour weeks like he was in the past? I don't know. I don't think so. It doesn't feel that way. And you keep hearing that he's coming back from Nantucket the longer and longer. Every year it's one extra day that he takes to come back. Or again, in Barbados, the first day of free agency a couple of years ago, or the thing last year, Greg, he and his staff had a chance to coach the Senior Bowl and they passed because it was on their break. Like, what the hell is that? I mean, that's something you do, at the end when you're kind of playing out the string, I guess. I don't know. So I think those are all fair questions to ask. All right, back to your phones with Greg Bedard. Paul in New Bedford. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hi, Greg. Great job all year. Mac Jones,
thanks, Paul.
Right at the beginning of his press conference that kind of jumped out at me. He said something like, I have to hold the players to a higher standard. And then he walked it back and said, well, I include myself in that. It almost was like he was saying that some of these guys didn't work as hard as he did. Now, he competed hard right to the end. You have to give him that. And I think, you know, the problems that they had, I don't think really focus on Mac Jones. But to hold the players to a higher standard, he's a rookie, and I got to hold the players to a higher standard. It sounds like there was a dissension in the ranks. It sounds like people were quitting, right? I think, it, you know, I'm
okay, let me stop you there. What's your reaction to that, Greg?
I thought it was an accurate comment. You know, by Mac, I think that he was a rookie this year, and he played his part. There's only so, as a rookie, you haven't done crap in this league, you haven't even played in a playoff game. This is the New England Patriots. You have Josh McDaniels with a bunch of rings on his finger. I mean, how much can you really do as a rookie? And I think he understood that he played his role. But in my opinion, I think he has earned the right for this to be his team going forward, even as a second-year guy, or at least the offense. And he needs to be the alpha now, and I think he can absolutely do that. I think he's entitled to that. I think that he is going to grow a lot in the offseason, and they need that. And, you know, eventually it'll grow to the other side of the ball, I think. But for now, with what he's put up as a rookie, I mean, you'd like to have a playoff win to go along with that. But I think that he's a guy who a lot of these guys need to be whipped into shape. You know, the way things fell apart, and it wasn't just the defense, it was also the offense. The way things fell apart, the coaches can only do so much. The players have to police themselves, and I think that's got to start with the quarterback.
Joe in Pittsfield. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. Greg, I have a question about, I think the number one thing is that I think Kraft has to get involved with Belichick. Sit down and talk to him about the defense and that, about getting younger and stuff. I think they were too old. I know some injuries hurt them, but I think they were too old. I blame Belichick a little bit toward the end here, but I kind of put it on Kraft to get him in the office, sit down and talk and see where they're going to go.
Okay, so how does this happen, Greg? If Bill needs to get younger, faster on defense, if they need to draft players that he doesn't draft, he does not draft 235-pound linebackers. It's just not what he's ever done. But if that's the direction of the league, if that's what they need, if they need sideline to sideline guys to defend, not just Josh Allen, but what the league is doing, and it's never been Bill's MO to do that. Do they give Ziegler the say at the draft and say, well, we're drafting these players, Bill. So now Bill's being handed players that he wouldn't draft. And now he's in a position where he has them on his roster, but is he going to play them? Because he's still of this mold of two-gapping and taking on blockers and this sort of thing. And so, like, how does that all work? How does that evolution come? Does it come from Bill? Is he willing to do it?
It's that evolution is solely up to a 70-year-old head coach in Bill Belichick, who is used to doing things a certain way for, you know, 50 years as far as, you know, football. And it's a tough ask. I mean, all we can do is look at, all right, it seems like he bent a little bit last year on personnel. It became more of a collaborative thing, and he wasn't just, you know, hoarding his guys. But you guys also got to remember, they got into this mess, especially on defense, largely because Belichick defaulted to, well, I only want to coach my type of guys now. Well, that's great. But can they run?
Right.
Can they cover? Can they tackle? So I Kraft ain't doing it. I mean, people could talk about Kraft needs to sit down Bill and needs to tell him he needs to do this. Like, first of all, Belichick will laugh at him. It's not going to be Ziegler, who knows, could be going to Vegas, which would be a serious blow to the personnel department. It's got to come from Bill. Bill has to realize it. He has to look at the signs. He has to look at, not be fooled and say the last month of the season was an aberration, or just, we just needed Jalen Mills and we would have stopped the Bills. I mean, come on. Give me a break. He needs to be real. It's only going to come from Bill. You know, good luck. Could happen. Could not.
Maz, you're shaking your head.
Well, because look, the idea is you talk about the scenario and say if Ziegler picks the players, that's a recipe for disaster. So let's say Ziegler does want the 235-pound linebacker that can run side to side. Is Bill going to play him? Like, that then becomes this, that's a horrible dynamic if it turns into that. It's got to, Bill's got to change. He's got to change. Otherwise, we're going to get the same crap.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on Bedard, thoughts on the Patriots with Bedard. I know what your thoughts on Bedard are. We don't need to get into that. Your thoughts on the Patriots. What went wrong? Where do they go from here? Greg's had some good stuff today. So your reaction to it, we've got a quick 90-second update from Murray. First, there are no commercials, and we're right back. Don't go anywhere.
This Sports Hub On-Demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a win. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.